Today's podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. It's unbelievable. We actually are doing two episodes 2 weeks in a row. Some bug must be up either Andrew Reich's butt, which is me, or the butt of Adam Reich. How's your butt doing, Adam?
Adam Reich.
Well, wow. You're like family, Adam. You know?
Aw, thank you.
I love you like a brother. Nah, fuck it. I don't really. But what's up your butt?
This podcast has taken a...
Why did we have to do an emergent pod or what do they call it? Like a merge or emer pod or what do they call those things when like there's a big event in the NBA that or in something that causes you to be relevant to the times and you have to record as hit record as soon as possible?
Just an emergency pod?
Yeah. For something that happened a week later.
Well, it gives time for you to, you know, digest it a bit. I know it was big news that came out that a certain player and his agent kind of demanded a trade. And, you know, it brought some furor all over the interwebs. So, I let you cool down a little bit, let you think about it. So what do you think about Marquese Chris publicly saying he wants to leave Houston?
Oh, wow. That's a shaker. I always thought you were wanting to talk about Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot.
Who got traded for the fifth time already?
Yeah,
but he's part of the process, right?
That was like a buried part of the Carmelo Anthony waiver, which finally happened with the Bulls. Because for those who weren't, you know, not in the know, the Bulls wound up getting Carmelo's remaining portion of his contract that the Rockets dumped because they weren't picking up Kenneth Faried, who was a buyout, and they basically threw like Luwawu-Cabarrot went from the Thunder to the Bulls like on the same day that the Bulls waived Melo's salary. So now Carmelo Anthony, who was actually caught sitting at a Knicks game, is now on the market again. I know that that's what everybody talked about. No, we did our recording last Sunday, and you actually gave me the question, posed the question of what do you think is going to happen with the Anthony Davis saga? Because there were some rumblings about unhappiness, the fact that he was, you know, sitting out a couple of weeks worth of games and that the Pelicans were basically on a downward slide. They had basically stabilized as a losing team. Now they're sitting out, I want to say, about five games or seven games under 500, I want to say.
They're just continuing southward. Continue.
Yes. And so – and I said, well, I just don't think anything can happen until the summer when you have your best options. And now things have gotten really Sherlock Holmesy because on Monday morning it was announced through Clutch Sports and Rich Paul, who is Anthony Davis's new agent, that Anthony Davis has formally requested a trade from the New Orleans Pelicans, which is a seismic move for the NBA because Anthony Davis is a top five NBA player. He's probably the best power forward in the NBA, unless you want to count Kevin Durant as a power forward. And wherever he goes, if it's a successful NBA franchise, that becomes an immediate destination team, a team that could contend. And that's basically the purpose of what Anthony Davis said when he was finally interviewed a few days later, that he just feels like it's his time to move on and that he wants to win. And he doesn't have that many years left, so he wants to be successful and he doesn't feel like he can do that in New Orleans, which is all the same things that you always hear from these superstar players who want to win. But there is a little bit more to the timing of this. Would you agree?
The timing was just, well, we're going to give the Lakers a chance because we know what the best offer is out there. We're not stupid. They know they've crunched numbers just like everybody else. And everybody else who, you know, all the sports talk, TV, just, well, everybody knows Tatum is your best offer. Tatum and picks. So, well, what about Lonzo Ball, who hasn't developed? What about Brandon Ingram, who hasn't developed? Kuzma, who scores and doesn't do anything else? Rondo.
Let's get deeper in the weeds with this. Is that Rich Paul in Clutch Sports is directly tied with LeBron James. That's his agency. Rich Paul is LeBron James's go-to guy. And when Anthony Davis signed with him in the summer, that was an immediate red flag of, oh, okay, this is going to be a situation where LeBron is going to try to recruit people who join Clutch Sports to try to join him with the Lakers or wherever he wound up signing last summer, which wound up being the Lakers. Here's where it gets kind of interesting. You're talking about Tatum and picks. You're talking about the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics, as we all know, have a bevy of assets, which includes stockpiled draft picks from years worth of deals that were made while the Celtics were working on smaller term contracts while still maintaining success. Now the Celtics have loaded up with either current assets, meaning like good players, or future assets like a really good draft pick from the Memphis Grizzlies in, I want to say, 2021 or 2022. It's like it's a pick that's probably going to go into the lottery. And they're just sitting on it. And so there's a lot more assets that the Celtics can probably put together in exchange for Anthony Davis. And on paper, looks like a pretty fair deal. The problem for the Boston Celtics right now, as we speak, is that Kyrie Irving's contract, which they absorbed in the Cleveland-Boston trade a year ago, is what they call a Rose Rule deal. What that is that Derrick Rose got the first contract in which you can surpass the salary cap using bird rights, and you can get a certain percentage of your team's salary cap. And Kyrie Irving is already taking on that space. In the collective bargaining agreement, you cannot have more than one of those contracts, a Rose Rule contract, on your cap. That means that Anthony Davis, which is also a Rose Rule contract because he makes up about like 30% of New Orleans' salary cap, he cannot legally be able to go to the Celtics if Kyrie Irving is on the team, which also created a bum rush of rumors of, well, will the Celtics try to move Kyrie Irving so that they can get in on the Anthony Davis sweepstakes before the Lakers try to swoop in and steal him? And that's where a little bit of discontent has come from Kyrie Irving in recent interviews, which now led to the famous reply of, what do you think of your free agency? And he said, ask me July 1st. So a lot of friction going on, you know, a lot of ripple effect from the AD trade demand. I put a lot of explanation into that, and I can just kind of leave you to clean up the mess here. Like, where do you think Boston stands with this? Do you feel like they have to be in a proactive situation before the Lakers can try to steal him, quote unquote?
Well, it's the Lakers aren't going to steal him. It's number one. It's now all the players have turned against everything. And, you know, the NBA's logic was, well, nobody's going to give up $50 million to go play with their buddies. Right. And then you see people giving up, you know, these.
And the answer is yes. Yes, they are.
But there's that. And then there's, you know, Anthony Davis, you know, rumor is he only wants to play for the Lakers and his father only wants him to play for. It's just like, okay, now it's getting, you know, Kawhi only wants to go to the Lakers and Paul George only wanted to go to the Lakers. And it's just, you can't have just, well, I'm going to go drive myself to one team. It's, well, if you want to go to that one team, just, you know, wait out your 2 years and then just go there anyways. Just don't bring everybody else into it. Don't bring everybody down. And then you have Kyrie, you know, Kyrie basically did everything wrong this year with just, you know, well, I'm going to be a leader. Well, I don't know how to be a leader, so I'm just going to be an asshole and I'm going to start yelling at the old guys. I'm going to clash with.
But a really talented asshole.
Yeah, he's fun to watch, but I'm going to clash with all these people and I'm going to be a ball hog. It's like, well, no, being a leader is being a team player. But, well, okay, you're frustrated that Hayward's out and not back to anything he was. And you're frustrated the young guys don't know what they're doing. And, but, you know, I need the ball and I need this. And, well, then, you know, pick what you want to be. And then just be, well, then I'm going to go play with go play with the Knicks. And they're absolutely nobody. Okay, you'll have two max contracts.
We'll get to the Knicks in a second, but keep going.
You know, play with the Knicks with a horrible management and ownership. And, you get two max contracts. And then what? What are you going to do with two max players and nobody else around them? It's going to be the same thing Memphis was. Well, look at that. You got Gasol and Conley. What do they ever do? Nothing. And this whole thing, you know, unfortunately stems back to the Boogie Cousins, because New Orleans all in.
Also, here's the one thing, and I'll let you finish. Here's the one thing I do not like about this whole discussion, where it just comes back to, Well, at the end of the day, we talked about the Pelicans. That's a small market team, and small market teams are just at a inherent disadvantage, which in a way is true. But here's where the story is getting skewed. What is a small market team? And what they really mean by that is not necessarily, oh yeah, it's Boston and LA. Those teams always will have the advantage simply because of the tradition that they carry and the fact that they're good destinations for players. And, you know, if that was the case, then why are people not migrating to Miami right now? So there's one thing you can complain about. But here's what I'm trying to say. To me, a big market team is not necessarily based on always the size of the market, the revenue you can generate, the amount of sponsorships that you can attain based on your location, in the tax rate at that state. That's not to me what it necessarily is. What it just basically means is, can you get your team to congregate 2 to 3 superstars at the same time and keep them happy? If you can do that, you are a large market team. The Pelicans tried to do it. They held on to it for a season and a half, and it didn't work out when Boogie left for the Warriors.
Well,
then they became, again, a small market team.
Well, it has nothing to do with a small market team. It's just Toronto is never going to be a free agent destination because it's Toronto and freaking cold. Nobody wants to sit and play in Minnesota,
but
Milwaukee.
By definition, with Kawhi Leonard and all these assets they have, they're a large market team. They are a contender.
Oh, by definition, the Lakers were a large market team, and they were in the lottery they had a number two pick for like 3 years in a row. And it just comes down to like, does TNT want to show all your games? Well, yeah, we want to. Well, there's
if you're good, yes.
Well, it's a big market. People are tuning in. No, people aren't tuning in locally to watch, the Celtics because we're a big market. They tune in because they want to watch the Celtics. They want to watch basketball.
Yeah,
Cleveland's not a big market team.
Watch the Bucks Raptors game on Thursday night on TNT because they're large markets. They watch it because it's Kawhi Leonard versus Giannis Antetokounmpo, the two of the 10 best players in the NBA. That's why I watch the game.
Yeah, so it has nothing to do with the market size and the amount of people in it. It just has to do like San Antonio. Well, they're not a large market. Well, they just have good players, and so we throw them on every time.
And that's the one part I've taken umbrage with the Pelican talk, where it's like, oh, well, that's a small market team, and they're always going to be a disadvantage. Here's the thing. That can flip in a hurry. The problem is you got to have incredible luck. You have to draft really well, and you've just got to be able to overlap the contracts to make it work. And also, you also have to have players be willing to sacrifice some salary in order to make it work. And all those things I just described are extremely difficult to do. The Warriors are going to find that out in about 2 years.
Well, yes, the Warriors have the title as long as they want to pay for it. But New Orleans, small market, big market, whatever. They went all in. They traded all their future away to get Cousins, and Cousins sort of screwed them and left them with absolutely nothing. And, well, what are you left with? You have Omar Asik. It was a bad signing. Solomon Hill, bad signing. Etuan Moore, well, he was a good signing, but
solid.
Still,
yeah,
overpaid and shouldn't be a starter.
The Mirotić deal was a good deal.
Mirotić got lucky because he got into a fight with Bobby Portis, so that he was just standing there waiting for you to take him. Mm-hmm. Plus they took Asik back, so that was even stupider of a Chicago, who's also a big market team, and nobody's going there.
They had to get rid of Ezinga. You know, there were a lot of mishaps.
And then every year they trade away their first round pick, so they have nobody developing. You have Sheik Diallo, who's getting 8 minutes a game still. Is Frank Jackson even healthy, or?
He is. He's playing better these days. And also, they're getting a lot of good play out of Jahlil Okafor. And another player that I think we've seen back in the fold is Tim Frazier.
And then if you reduce to signing Darius Miller, as decent as he is, you're getting a EuroLeague player. Overachieving your early player, but that means you just made so bad deals. That's all you could do is try to find cheap bargain basement gems.
And there's a couple things that are definitely in play here of why the Pelicans are not necessarily in a hurry to make a deal. There's, a lot of things all the way at the top that sort of make this work. Number one, Gail Benson, who actually still can think and make decisions for herself, unlike Tom, who is now no longer with us. Not saying that Gail Benson is like a business extraordinaire, but now you have actually somebody who probably is a little more proactive on what decisions need to be made rather than sort of a stand-in. So that's one part. Mickey Loomis, who also is the GM of the Saints, is sort of hands-on-ish in this situation too. But the other problem is, you know, Del Demps has to feel very protective of being able to trade Davis and get like a king's ransom in return. Because the thing is, the moment Anthony Davis is traded by the Pelicans are rebuilding. And once a rebuild is enacted for the New Orleans Pelicans, Del Demps is out of a job, because it is almost a cardinal rule in the NBA that you cannot oversee two rebuilds. Demps already did one in 2012 when they got Davis in the lottery. Davis is gone. Now you start over again. That means that the moment that this deal is done, whether it be Demps who makes a deal, Mickey Loomis who makes a deal, Deeney Ferry, who's the assistant GM, makes the deal, whoever it is, once that rebuild starts, Demps is gone. So there's a lot of protection going on about what kind of deal is made, what you get in return, and whether a deal happens at all.
Well, the problem is with a rebuild is you have so many teams rebuilding now. Well, for one, just look at Cleveland, how literally they fell apart once LeBron left.
They were rebuilding. They were doing the impossible. They were rebuilding around LeBron James, and LeBron was so great, he could still get the Cavs to the finals.
So, yeah, I know. So they felt bad, but everybody's rebuilding. What good are you going to be rebuilding when, well, we have to go against Memphis, who's rebuilding, who's going against Phoenix, who's rebuilding, who's going against all half the East?
Yeah, you're not a skilled enough tanker when you have teams behind you, below you, who are already in that game pretty knee deep, like the Knicks, who we're going to touch on in a second. So it's not like they're super skilled at being able to give away the house. There's already been shutdowns occurring with rosters with Nikola Mirotic and Etuan Moore, like you mentioned. There's also been that, you know, all that social media Sherlock Holmes stuff where Mirotic has wiped all Pelican message mentions from his Twitter. So people think that means that Mirotic is out the door, which means that we're like one Drew Holiday away from a fire sale.
Okay, just going back to the original topic. I have nothing against Anthony Davis being like, look, I don't want to screw this team. I don't want to leave them with nothing. This team has been, you know, they've been my home for however many years now. Look, let's get me out of here. I don't want to be Kevin Garnett where I'm already past my prime before I get traded. I understand, but to be like, I want to pick and choose where I want to go, come on.
He never actually said that. On the interview, he said, I have not given Del Demps a trade, like a targeted.
He hasn't said that, but everybody.
The reason why is because if he actually says that, that's tampering and he would be fine, which
everybody else has said that. And then, you know, his father says, he'll never want to play in Boston because the way they treated Isaiah Thomas and blah, blah, blah. And his agent said, you know, I think somebody said he only wants to play, the Lakers are his only real destination. Like, he'll play for the other teams. He'll play and want to do it, but he still wants to, you know, the same way Paul George, well, I'm still going to go to L.A. in 2 years, so.
And here's another laugher, this idea of, like, well, if the Lakers give up, like, all these players, including Ingram, for Anthony Davis, is just LeBron James Anthony Davis good enough to win a championship? Yes. The answer is yes. That is good enough to win a championship.
No, the answer is no.
I don't agree with that. I think if AD gets with LeBron, that's a championship team.
They're not going to stop Golden State.
Well, in about 2 years they can. When Klay Thompson is playing for the Lakers or somewhere else.
Well, yeah, when Klay Thompson plays for the Lakers with Kyrie.
Because we're already – that's been the backlash to this. The whole, oh, well, everyone's trying to chase the Warriors, so let's try to tear the Warriors down by trying to convince Klay Thompson to get out of there and that he's not he's undervalued at Golden State and blah, blah, blah. That's the other part that – you know, the other kind of like side story that's been going on lately.
Yeah, there's just a lot of tearing down of a lot of people. But moving on, let's discuss the Knicks as you know, finally they're back in the news for it's fun. This
the
is
wrong
the weirdest.
Reasons.
I don't know. This is the weirdest trade where the Knicks finally gave rid of the only hope they've had for the past 3 years in Porzingis. They got rid of him and all their salary for Dennis Smith Jr., who Dallas was trying to dump. And
the exact trade, I believe, was Kristaps Porzingis, Tim
Hardaway
Jr., Trey Burke, and then the Courtney Lee, which is really his contract was really what they were shedding. Because the thing about Porzingis is people are trying to figure out how that works salary wise because of Hardaway's deal being so big and Courtney Lee being a big salary himself. The thing is, Porzingis is still on the rookie contract. He did not sign his extension. And he probably will sign the qualifying offer anyway when he goes to Dallas, which is the other team on this side. And Dallas gave up DeAndre Jordan. Wesley Matthews was at the end of his
– two expiring deals.
Yeah. Well, is DeAndre Jordan an expiring contract?
Yeah, he was a one-year deal.
Okay, he was. I thought it was maybe a two-year with an opt-out. And the other one was Dennis Smith Jr., and I think it was two first-round draft picks, or am I saying that wrong?
Two first-round, one unprotected, one protected.
Yeah, but it, Lord knows how – I mean, the Mavericks with Luka Doncic playing as well as he is, they're not terrible, but they're not a playoff team.
2021 so and 2023.
It'll be a bottom-of-the-lottery type of deal. If it was this year, it would be. By 2022, 2023, that might be low first. So, but it depends on how good, obviously, the Mavericks will be. You know, the Mavericks will improve when they eventually get Kristaps Porzingis in the fold because he's recovering from an ACL injury. And there's already been word out that he's probably not going to – they're going to shut him down for this year anyway. And then they'll start over after Dirk Nowitzki retires, and they'll just have Porzingis and Luka Doncic be like the stables of the new team. But that's going to improve the team, obviously, even if you're losing Dennis Smith Jr. But – with the Knicks, you know, there's a whole lot of things there. You look at the cap space, $73 million worth in cap space. That is a gold mine.
And that's the funny thing. First, it went from how can New York trade, you know, the best thing they have away? How can they trade away the unicorn? They're so stupid to, well, this was a great Dallas lost out. New York has all this money now. Well, you know who else has money? Brooklyn has money. Chicago has money. Sacramento has money. Atlanta has money. Phoenix has money. And all those, well, with the exception of Chicago.
Yeah, because they ruined that with the Jabari Parker deal. Yeah.
All those teams have, if I was a superstar player, would I want to go play with Brooklyn, who has way better talent, or Sacramento, who is legitimately a fun team to watch?
And talented. The other thing, too, also, shout out to D'Angelo Russell. He filled in for Victor Oladipo as the All-Star reserve, so good for him. I mean, I don't see too many All-Stars on the New York Knicks squad.
Yeah, so you're gonna be a superstar. You're going to be, okay, well, Kevin Durant and Kyrie's going to play. Who? With Kevin Knox and Mitchell Robinson?
Mm-hmm.
And
Alonzo Trier.
Alonzo Trier and Dotson and no bench, you know, Ron yeah. Baker. Like, come yeah. on.
I'll tell you this. In the immediate, like, what do you think was the best addition? I would probably say it's Trey Burke going to Dallas because J.J. Barea remembers out with a torn Achilles. So without Dennis Smith, you have no point guard. So Trey Burke has to play.
Exactly. So
I would say that's the immediate one. Tim Hardaway Jr. for Wesley Matthews, I would actually call a wash. The only problem I have with that is that Hardaway Jr. is 2 years into a pretty hefty – a four-year deal.
He has 2 years left.
Wes Matthews was at the end of his deal, so now you're taking on another year of money.
But the thing with Hardaway is he's not terrible. He still puts up
– he wasn't terrible for the Knicks. Now, let's see what happens in Dallas, you know, where Rick Carlisle is very much a system guy, you know?
Okay, he's a system guy, but he's not a bad player. He's just overpaid. So he's automatically an upgrade over Wesley Matthews. Courtney Lee, that's the one that's going to hurt because they have another year of him and he really doesn't provide anything anymore.
Courtney Lee is finished. Yeah. That's fair to say.
But
were you surprised Enes Kanter wasn't in the deal? Since there have been a lot of rumblings about him being unhappy.
Well, apparently nobody wants him.
Yeah. Not even Turkey doesn't want him. couldn't travel. He actually couldn't travel because he was afraid that
they put out a arrest warrant for him.
Yeah, the Turkish government was going to arrest him, right?
For an enemy of the state.
Yes. So he could not travel. So yeah, it's just a really that was a weird situation. Like Kanter's a really good rebounder still, but it's just one of those situations where you know the Knicks are. The other thing too, and this is where we can go back to the Laker Pelican thing and the Celtics thing. With the Knicks, is that, you know, sometimes a lot of this is a waiting game. It just depends on how long you're willing to wait to make your move, to show your cards. and what you're willing to give up in the process. And are you willing to surprise people with a deal like the Knicks were and just blow it all up now? Or do you want to play your cards right and see what you can get if you just wait a little bit longer, which I guess is the game plan for the Pelicans. And at the end of the day, the Knicks decided we're just going to blow it up. I don't feel like Dallas necessarily blew up their team, even though they did put a lot of effort into signing DeAndre Jordan only to unload him, which I found really weird.
Yeah, but they upgraded. They got somebody they really wanted. And the thing with Porzingis, don't forget, Phil Jackson said, I will trade him.
And it got him fired.
Yeah, that's what got him fired. Then, you know, Fizdale wasn't allowed to see him at all. He was like, you know, I heard, you know, he's practicing, but I'm not allowed to get near him.
Supposedly the team meeting was 5 minutes long. Whenever you hear that, that means that basically the player or the player's representation told the team, I want out, bye.
Management has shown him no, you know, they've sort of jerked him around and, you know, rightfully, not to say rightfully so, but that's, you know, coming back from ACL injury, you're going to take this, we're not going to max you out, but you give a, let's, you know, a good faith type thing. And if you've heard nothing, you know, coming from New York, you know, the most upstanding franchise. Now, if he were, let's say Dallas, and he was doing this, like, well, that's sort of shocking. You know, you don't hear that from New York. Yeah, nobody has good stories coming from New York.
No. Well, the other thing, too, is that, you know, because I predicted that when we were getting to that deadline, which is usually at the end of October now with the extensions for – basically what it is that for people on rookie contracts, the deadline to be able to sign a new extension for those rookie contract players is at the end of October. When you heard absolutely nothing from Nick's brass about Porzingis when his deal was available for an extension and nothing happened, you knew there was trouble. You knew something was up.
You know, also just about all these teams, just quickly sort of putting a little bow on this one. The Knicks, who was the last free agent they signed? Amari Stoudemire.
Joakim Noah.
Last big, I mean, marquee signing. Not last large money. Amari. Had already been declining.
But Carmelo was a sign and trade, but it was really it was one of those things where it was designed so that Carmelo can ink a new contract with
the
Knicks.
It was a trade.
It was a trade on paper.
It was a trade. So that's not – but who was the last one to willingly join them, not forced away out of another team? You know, Noah had been injured, and it was one of those, well, if he could come back healthy, he'll be good. But there's that. There's the Lakers who, if you recall, gave a lowball offer for Paul George, gave a lowball offer for Kawhi. And they, you know, reportedly gave a lowball offer for the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. And who's gone there? What free agent has gone there? They were the ones who were like, oh, we're the Lakers. You want to be with us? And everybody's like, no, we don't.
And they thought they were going to be able to, you know, wait that out and get Paul George in free agency, and they didn't. They didn't even get a phone call. So
yeah, and then, you know, you have now discord in the locker room as, you know, Magic Johnson doesn't like Luke Walton.
Well, Luke Walton got into it with the veterans after they lost on Saturday to the Warriors in the locker
room. Magic wants him gone, but don't forget, Magic is the one who assembled this one-year, circus show.
Yes, I would not even remotely call it a super team. I know that's what you wanted to say at first, but it's not.
You know, you put together all these misfits and locker room malcontents. You put them together, like, of course you know it's going to blow over when they start losing.
And it also might be the fact that LeBron, this might be the first year in his career where LeBron might, either through the direction of Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson, or just being able to see the bigger picture, where he's just willing to kind of wait this one out and call the season, like basically write a rain check on the 2019 season. I'm not saying that he's just willing to like drop it all and not play for the rest of the year because of a groin injury in 2019. What I'm saying is that it wouldn't be the end of the world if the Lakers are a sixth seed and they win their first round series, but then they lose in the second round to the Warriors in six games. Like, it wouldn't be like a devastating, like, oh, we got to change everything up type of situation. I feel like LeBron is sort of like looking at the bigger picture and saying, you know what? I think if we maxed everything out this season, I worked my ass off, I still think this team would not be any better than like a 48-win team. And so what's the point of trying to like ride the wheels off when I can wait it out a little longer and maybe we can get Kawhi Leonard, or maybe we can get Anthony Davis, or maybe we can swing another deal and get another really good player.
Probably like, why aren't we getting them now? Why aren't we making this trade now?
That's the reason for the timing of the trade demand by Anthony Davis. It's clearly collusion, but there's nothing you can do about it. Players, you can't stop players from talking to each other. You know, LeBron already made that perfectly clear a couple months ago when they were talking to him about the Anthony Davis quote. And he said, look, the league can't stop me. If I want to say a player is really good and I want to play for him, I could say it whenever I want to. And he's right.
He's right. And then at the same time, I think Shaq was right when he's like, look, if you want to play with LeBron, have LeBron come to you. Exactly. Why are you, you know?
And then you can change the perception of who's the team to play for, who's the large market team. What it is really, it's just, where is the popular place to go? Where are the good players? You know? And I think that worked out in a ways for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I cannot begin to tell you how important it was for them that they got Paul George to re-sign there. That was a huge deal.
Yeah, it was a huge deal, and you know, they had the owner who, well, I refuse to pay the tax. Okay, I guess I'll pay the tax.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the difference between small market and big market. Small market team, I'm going up to the cap. I can't take a step over it.
How many people in 2009 would have called the Golden State Warriors a large market team? None. Nobody would have called them a large market team. Now they are because you're winning championships, but you also have to pay luxury tax out of your butt. The thing about the Boston Celtics and the LA Lakers, which is why they're back in the center of the NBA universe, is that they've always been large market teams and they always will be. That's the one constant. You know, Philadelphia, I would probably put into that same pantheon where it's a team that's always going to be willing to spend.
Yep.
You know, but we could try to talk a little bit about because we hit for the most part on the Porzingis trade that actually did happen, and then the Anthony Davis trades that are in fantasy land. But we could talk about some real ones. What do you think about Rodney Hood going to the Portland Trailblazers?
To what? Play as a backup guard next to Evan Turner?
He's already said he's going to re-sign there. He even waived his bird rights to make it happen.
Well, yeah, because he was absolutely miserable in Cleveland, and LeBron took his mojo.
Yeah, so now he's going to be going to Portland. Portland gave up Wade Baldwin, 2 second-round picks, and another –
garbage.
Nick Stauskas. Yeah, well, which is –
who's done Stauskas nothing, and he's slowly working his way out of the league. Cause
you know, the other team in the East that you think would be in contention trying to kind of swoop in is Philadelphia. The problem is Philadelphia already showed their cards with the Jimmy Butler deal. I don't think they have anywhere near enough room to make another deal.
No, they don't.
You know, so that's over. The fire sale in New York is probably over, except for Kanter. I don't see anything happening with Chicago. Atlanta's got some pieces like Jeremy Lin, and I don't think they're going to even think
about
it.
Well, here's the thing. The problem with these basement teams, mm-hmm. Atlanta's like, yeah, we're willing to trade Torian Green. You have Chicago saying, we're going to give up anybody who's not Markkanen or Wendell Carter. So it's like you traded for Dunn, you signed LaVine, and you're going to listen to offers for them. And how are you going to get better if you're just going to put all your crap on – have a yard sale every year?
Yeah, I think the Blazers are still takers right now. I don't think they're done necessarily with the Hood thing because they might try to put something together where they can get rid of Myers-Leonard's contract, but they probably have to bundle together some value with it. I do think Charlotte will try to make a move. I do think the guy that's going to probably wind up being the odd man out is either going to be Michael Kidd-Gilchrist or Marvin Williams, but I just don't know how they're going to package them together. I think one of them is going to go.
Well – plus Frank Kaminsky's been out of the lineup, so there's any time he's
Spencer Dinwiddie's out for a few weeks with Brooklyn, so you would wonder if Brooklyn might come in there and just try to add some kind of piece, whether even if it they don't even well, if the they don't give up much like Reggie Bullock or somebody like that.
Here's the question I had last week: is it worth doing because you know you have no chance? Is it worth it for Brooklyn to add somebody or to Detroit to desperately get Mike Connolly or, you know,
Adam,
swap?
It's that tasty apple hanging from the tree. Like, you when you're winning, it's so easy for owners to overreact and say, well, if we're winning, maybe adding this good player and not giving up too much in return will be enough.
But I think – but this year in the West, you could clearly see it's Golden State to lose. And in the East, you have, you know, a couple teams. So if you're – what's the point of, you know, like let's say a Washington or a Clippers. Like you're on the outside looking in. There's no point for you to try to buy a rental. It's going to be all who's going to get bought out. When DeAndre Jordan and Wesley Matthews – and, you know, all these other players are going to be bought out. That's going to be the huge deal. So why am I going to trade for anybody when I could just wait for
Here's the only problem with that. Because of the size of those deals that you're talking about with guys like Jordan, Wesley Matthews, look how hard it was for the Houston Rockets, because they were in luxury tax hell, to unload Carmelo Anthony's measly contract, which was like, what, $3.5 million at best, $4.5 million, just so that they can get Kenneth Faried and get him off the roster.
Yeah, but that was – they were holding out for –
they had to move mountains to make that happen.
And the same thing with Melo. They were holding out for another deal for him. But what's – you know, February 8th, DeAndre Jordan has no value to the team, so let's just save a couple hundred grand and cut in and buy him out.
Okay, let me give you a few franchises that we've heard rumors about – might be willing to make moves, and I just want you to give me a guess of whether you think somebody there might be moving or they'll make a big addition, or do you think it'll be more of the same? Minnesota.
No, I don't see anybody making a move. I've already said that. It does no team any good to – improve. Will there be trades? Yes, but we'll just be trading my – you know, just sort of swapping pieces.
Yeah, but in particular the Timberwolves, you don't really see them trying to say they get a great deal and they are able to unload Andrew Wiggins. Like, do you think they could pull that off?
No, because they don't have a coach right now.
Memphis. We still hear about the Mike Conley, Marc Gasol stuff. There's a rumor about Mike Conley going to the Utah Jazz, who's another team you could talk about. Because I do think the Jazz will make some kind of a move, even if it's a lateral move.
I think Memphis is still in denial and their price will be too high.
Okay, Utah. I think Derek Favors might be on the market and no one's talking about it.
Because he's not really exciting to do that. It'll be like, well, you know, what are you trading? Oh, well, it's here's
– Well, not only that, based on today's standards, his salary is middling and you might be able to add another guard, which is what the Jazz desperately need, a real point guard.
Rubio's a real point guard. I don't know why everybody doesn't like him but me.
Because Mitchell is so obsessed with handling the ball that you almost need a headstrong point guard to get it out of his hands. And Ricky Rubio is just not that aggressive type of point guard. He's more of the system point guard. That's kind of how it's seen. Miami Heat, this one's interesting because I do think there will be a situation – there will be a breaking point with Pat Riley and company where they're just like, you know what? Let's trade Dragic. Let's trade James Johnson.
But
they're going to have to attach a good player to it, like a Justice Winslow or a Bam Adebayo. Someone's going to have to go with him.
But I see it as a here's a Nicholas Batum or here's Kid Gilchrist for Dion Waiters. The salary matches up. Well, let's just swap pieces. Maybe we'll be better on a different team. That's all I see is just, okay, here's Kelly Olynyk for –
I would say if that actually happened, it would be probably Tyler Johnson and Dion Waiters for Nick Batum because of Batum's contract. That's the problem.
That's why I changed it to Kid Gilchrist.
Ah, okay. Smart.
That's why I quickly went, yeah. I'm just going to dial that one back.
Well, here's the thing, too. The whole, like, well, let's try to funnel this through a three-way. Like, I don't see that with Anthony Davis. I know that's going to be the talk of the summer with the Celtics, where they're going to try to add assets from other teams in order to get better return value for the Pelicans so that they don't feel like they got screwed out of a deal. But here's the thing. What team would be willing to add that on? And let me ask you this. Is there a scenario in which a team can swoop in and get Anthony Davis and it's not the Celtics and not the Lakers? I'll give you one, but I'm not going to say it because I think it's like an ideal trade. I just think that because of the star power involved, that it's just something that might actually make sense on paper. How about Anthony Davis for John Wall and 2 first-round draft picks? That would put Anthony Davis in Washington, but you know, obviously he probably has a narrow list. But let's say that's just one scenario where Anthony Davis does not go to Boston or L.A. He obviously won't promise the Wizards.
Yeah, it's not. And, well, the thing is, what are you going to do with Wall and Holiday?
Yeah, so that's one. What about Anthony Davis to Charlotte for Kemba Walker?
Yeah, Charlotte wouldn't do that because that's just, you know, A, the salaries wouldn't match up, so it'd have to be Kemba Walker and a lot of other things, and you just have – Anthony Davis would just be on another crappy team.
AD to Oklahoma City for Steven Adams, a first-round draft pick, and you could throw in maybe like another good player on a middling deal like an Andre Robertson.
I don't think they have the pieces to do it.
Okay. That actually is legit. I don't think they have any draft picks to surrender anymore. So, because they kind of gave them all away in the middle of trade. So,
yeah. So, you know, you got Terrence Ferguson and Hamadou Diallo. But
they have pieces where they can try to make it work.
You can try, but it's not really an attractive deal.
I'm just giving you examples. Like the Spurs is another one where, like, do you think that there is a scenario where he does not go to the Celtics or he does not go to the Lakers?
Well, he'll go with where if some team panics and offers something big for him, you know, New Orleans would be their best interest to get the best deal.
Yeah, but, you know, here's the other thing, too. The definition of what the best deal is, that evolves really quickly. We saw that with the Pacer trade with Oladipo and Paul George.
Well, I guess we will find out in a week. I'm not expecting much.
Yeah, but I do think there'll be a little bit of activity in the trade deadline. It's just more of like shots fired with the Anthony Davis deal that sort of put everything in motion. The Porzingis one was a shocker. But I just hope that it makes sense for the Knicks because of the cap space. In the past, when it came to the Knicks shedding all this cap room, it didn't work out for them. So why would it be any different this time?
Because there's always we can buy people, and they'll make, you know, where you know, if you think you're a desirable destination, and well, we have the money to do it this time. This time will be different. Sure, whatever. I don't know. I guess this is a to be continued.
Final question for you. By the end of next week, what are we talking about with the New Orleans Pelicans?
They probably got rid of Mirotić.
Okay. But are we still sitting in a big, fat purgatory with Anthony Davis?
Yes.
That's a shame. What a lost season. I hate lost seasons. I've seen enough of them, and we're right in the middle of another. So there's no reason to talk about basketball anymore.
We'll see what happens next week.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. But on behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. Let's get out of here.
Consideration paid for by the following.
Place Me Nation's Justin Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceMeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place Me Nation Wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Survey Says, Wrestling War Zone, a Monday Night Wars podcast retrospective, No Holds Barred, Jeff Learns Wrestling, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. On top of that, we're also dipping into the vault, re-releasing the entire catalog of Where the Big Boys Play for your enjoyment. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is loaded with great content, offering such tremendous shows covering the land of pop culture, such as Geek and Sassy, Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Sunday Groove, PTB in Play, Freak Out Drive-In, Songs with Friends, Looking Forward, Looking Back, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Conversation Comics, DC Post-Crisis Management, Marvel Age, and Marvel Age Masterclass, plus weekly pod blasts that cover the gamut of comic topics. The feed is also filled with insightful sports content, including the NBA team, This Week in the NFL, and more.
And you can find all these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows plus others available at PlaceMeNation.com. We cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceMeNation.com. ptbvintagevault.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.